Once again, I want to read each one in the precious name of Jesus. Once again, to get an opportunity to share God's word. But I also want to, first of all, thank you as a congregation, first of all, for your attendance. You as a congregation have made it very easy to preach to. Very listening, very attentive, and appreciate that. You must be trained by your home ministry. And that's good. I love to see that. Eager to hear what God has for us, eager to hear the truths of God's word. Thank you for the gift you have given to us. We feel unworthy for it. We appreciate that you've given it to us, but we feel unworthy. Tried to preach what the Lord wanted me to preach. Might not have been a perfect sermon, but I hope by God's grace that each one of you have did what our brother said. You know that you've got challenged. It's like I told somebody, if I haven't challenged you in some messages, I didn't do my job, and I'll take that fault. But God bless you as you continue to be faithful here in this community. As the church continues to flourish, as it continues to grow, it reaches out, and I appreciate the reaching out I see here in this congregation here as I intermingled with you and learned to know you. Part of my heart stays here. Learned to know some new faces, new people. Appreciate each one of you. So with that, let's turn our songbooks to 569 for our theme one last time to sing our theme song. I've learned to know a name I highly treasure. Brother Merle.
Spirit through and through, oh precious.
each one of you is that that name still lives and lives forever. I hope that song rings in your ears for years by, that you never forget his name. Turn with me in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 25. Title of the message this evening is, What Will My Answer Be? What will your answer? I want each one of us personally to understand that answer. What will your answer be? Songwriter writes, someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record will see. Someday your answer to question of life. What will your answer be? Sadly, you'll stand if you're unprepared. Trembling, you'll fall on your knees. Facing the sentence of life or of death, what will your sentence be? Now is the time to prepare, my friend. Make your soul spotless and free, washed in the blood of the crucified one. He will your answer be. Chorus says this, what will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend eternity? What will it be? What will it be? What will your answer be? Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, Jesus tells us another story. And Jesus tells these stories for our learning. And this is the story of a man that traveled to a far country. And he gave his goods to another. Let's read verse 14 to verse 30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received the 1 went and digged in the earth, and found and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Servant, thou hast been faithful over few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked servant, wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. story. A story with a heavenly meaning. A story with a spiritual meaning. Was an encouraging story to some, and a very discouraging story to another. Verse 14, it says that the master, or this man, was leaving. He was going, it says, to another country, a far country. You know, our Lord came, and he left. And he left the responsibility to me and you. And someday, we don't know when, I think Brother James and I were, Jim and I were talking yesterday, last night, that somebody said that he was going to come, September? He didn't come. Maybe he's coming soon. He is coming soon, but I don't know how soon. Let's go over to John chapter 13. From this point that the master is leaving. He's going away. He's counting on others. John chapter 13, verse 31. It says, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with thee. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are his disciples, if ye have love one for another. Our Lord Jesus Christ has left. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and someday he's coming back. As we said this morning, he's coming back for his bride, and that the bride is going to give an answer. What would your answer be? What will your answer be if he comes tonight? And you don't get home tonight. We notice also in verse 14, look what he calls. It says he calls his own servants. His own servants. His servants that were born in his own house. His servants that he could, in other words, trust. He calls them. He called each one of you. He called me as a servant. He trusts me with his goods. He trusts me with his duty to do. Every servant loves and appreciates their master. Get that? Every servant. I'm not talking about a slave. I'm talking about a servant. Every servant loves his masters. And then he says it in verse 14, he says, he delivered unto them, them his servant. The one he gave 5 talents, the other he gave 2 talents, the other gave 1 talent. It's a type of each one of us that are servants. Which servant are you? That's the question I want you to answer. What servant are you? And that he was willing to trust his goods into your hands, into your lap, into your responsibility. What will your answer be? And then he goes in verse 15, as he gave these one, he gave these five, he gave these two, he gave these one, and notice the phrase there, to every man according to his several ability. What's that several ability? What is that? once again, get your Greek Bible out, get your Greek dictionary out, and you understand it. That word several in the Greek is eidos, which means self or own. Get that? The word ability in the Greek, and we think of ability as what I can do. No, that's right. But it means dunamis. That's a Greek word for abilities, is dunamis. And dunamis is a force. It's a might. It's a power. So now let's read it differently. Let's read it the way the Greek says it is. I realize sometimes the English language gets us a little bit in trouble. It says, and to every man according to his own power. Does that make more sense? So he's saying to these servants, here's my goods. It's up to you. Here's my goods. It's up to you. It's in your own power to do with whatever you want to do with them. And every one of us that are born again has been handed that. Them goods. What will your answer be? Now I'd like to look at these two answers. And I'm going to go backwards. What was the answer of the servant with one talent? And I asked a question to myself. What went wrong with the servant with the one talent? And we would think, what was the matter with that man? Well, let's not think too far. Because first of all, we find in verse 24, we're going to jump around. Verse 24, we see here he had a wrong view, or how he viewed his master, the Lord. And we talked about that in our first message here on Wednesday night. What is my view of God? And we see here a man that had a wrong view of God. A wrong view of his master that he loved. He was a servant. He says, you're a hard man. You reap where you have not strowed. You have gathered where thou hast not straw. Or I wrote down my own thinking, my own wording. You get what you want without even working for it. You know, he was like a day servant. The master or the employer, he gets he gets 50 cents out every hour I work for him. Well, you don't even work for it. That was his view. That was his view of his master, of God, of the Lord. You can get it anyhow. You don't even have to work for it. And you get all the glory. Why should little me waste my time? Why should I? And we could look. Well, God, you can save the whole world if you want to. Why should I waste my time? That's what this man's thinking was. As big as you are, I can't do anything right anyhow. And then we find in verse 25 that he had a grip of a fear of him. He says, I was afraid of you. He says, and I went and hid. We'll talk about it later. And because he saw that fear, he was afraid of his master. How many times have we have been afraid of God and we think, God, you just got a big stick. All you're going to do is hit me anyhow. Are you going to discipline me anyhow? That was his view of God. It says in verse 25 that he hid it in what? The earth. The earth. Let's not run too far. How many times do we find ourselves pretty earthly minded? How many times do we find ourselves that the earthly minded or the earthly things are more important than who God is? Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, and who," what? "Mine earthly things." This man with one talent that he had of his master's goods was earthly minded. And he was satisfied to be earthly minded. Right to the end. It's no need to know who God is. No need for others to understand who the God I serve. Verse 27, the Lord of the Master looked at him and said, "Well, you could at least lend it to somebody else to use it. I could at least got my usury out of it. But instead, you hid it in the earth. You were earthly minded. And you were minded to just to do nothing with it. And I will live my own life." It's a challenge. Are we living our own life? Are we living in light of eternity? His answer was all about me. It was about me and me only. It's what I think. It's what I believe. And nobody's going to tell me what to do. Lord, I give you no glory. He didn't really say that. But that's what his actions were. No glory will shine. No Lord will shine in my life. Is that your answer? Is that your answer? So let's look at the five. The servants that had five talents. Let's look at the contrast. And the one with two. Notice that the Lord did not differentiate between the amount. He differentiated on the amount of what he did with it. And it's our attitude towards that. They went right to work. We notice here these five, they went out and they traded and they brought in what they used, and they came back with that, and they had a tremendous fear of the Holy God. As they came there with their answer, you can see that fear. When they said they came and they said, "Lord, here it is. Here's your five. I give it back to you, but also along with that, I give you five more. Or I give you two more." They understood responsibility. These goods were the Lord's. And I also saw that it looks like they were humble. They were humble. Look at verse 20 and verse 21, 22. I'd just like to read those two verses again and just see that picture. Can you just picture this scene in your mind? "And so he that had received the five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. You've given me this responsibility. You've given me this whatever it is to do for you, and I love you that much. I give it back to you. Behold, I have gained besides them five talents.'" And it's the same way in verse 22. "And he also that received two talents came and said, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two others besides this. I have showed others your goods.'" I have showed others your goods, and others have believed. Their answer was, "You know what? You deserve what we have. And you have given us so much." That's their answer. The one talent said, "You can have what you got, what you gave me, and I'm done."
didn't realize how much they gave him.
And they were finished. Let's go to another scriptures. What will your answer be? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'd like to read 15 verses here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I would like to walk down through this passage and just to see what will your answer be. As we understand the times, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to verse 15, we see Apostle Paul teaching that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and we're going to have to give an answer. And we're going to have to give an answer of what we have done. And Apostle Paul gives some instructions here. But the times of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they shall come, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them that travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, and for a hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Wherefore, comfort one yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient unto all men. We could read on the rest of the chapter. I'm not going to take the time to do that. Brothers and sisters, ye are not in darkness. We're here to do God's will. We are here ones that have been born again and ones that understand that what the light is. We are not in darkness. And we don't have to be in darkness. But ye are the children of light. We have been a blessed people to have the truth. And we are watchful people. That's what he's talking about here. We are watchful people. Verse 2 says, Jesus is coming when what? We think not. There's a lot of prophecy that's saying he's going to come because of this and this and this. And because of what's happening in Israel. Wait a minute. My Bible says he's going to come as a thief in the night. He's coming as a thief in the night. He don't know when he's coming. But we as a children of light are watchful people and we're watching. Verse 3 says, we are watchful for the right view of what? Peace. It says, when there's peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon you. We're looking for the right peace. When our Lord Jesus Christ comes back, what will your answer be? What will your answer be? John 16 verse 33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye shall have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm talking to a people that are light. What will your answer be? I'm warning those that are in darkness. Of what will your answer be? Verses 8 to verse 10. I see here peace. It says, but. We have this word but in there. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for the helmet and the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. That peace, what will your answer be? Is that peace? That's peace. When we are sober, when we have put on the breastplate of righteousness, when we have obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, and because of that peace, we have a testimony. Do you know, I've been with Jesus by the smile upon your face? Can you see a heart of love or the presence of his grace? Can they tell in conversation that he's a friend of mine? Or when I see that vast creation, do I praise his great design? Am I shining an inward light through the world as I go by? Does it brighten up the darkness like the stars up in the sky? Do I bring the peace of Jesus and the comfort of his word to those crying out for answers? Do they know their voice is heard? God will brighten up the darkness through the lives of you and me. Are we helping hold up Jesus that the whole world may all see? I found that in my daughter's notebook. Pen those words, they're precious. Is that my life? Is that my answer? As I show them Jesus, I learn to know a name that's high above treasures. Is that what it is? We come to verse 12 and verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians. And there it says that we beg you, brethren. Wherefore, verse 12, Apostle Paul, in the same context, this same context that he was saying, prepare. You have an answer to give. Someday Jesus is coming back, and we're going to stand before an almighty judge. And here he begs them. He says, I beseech you, brother. I beg of you, brother. Know them which labor among you. Know them. Do you know your ministry? You're going to answer for that. You're going to answer for that. Do you know those that are laboring among you? Do you love them? Have you accepted their oversight? That's what he's saying here. Know them which labor among you and are over you. And you are to admonish them. You're going to give an answer. I'm going to give an answer. We're all going to give an answer. Do you respect their warnings? Do you esteem them? Set a value on them? Very high in love? What will your answer be? What will your answer be? I believe that's what Apostle Paul was trying to challenge the Thessalonican church. That we are to esteem them. Let 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 1 says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Blaspheme. Count your own masters worthy of honor. Worthy of honor. Verse 14 and verse 15. Here he says, I want you to encourage your brother. What will your answer be? Are you an encourager? I want to ask you. I want you to look real deep down inside your heart. Are you an encourager? He's saying here, and to esteem them, verse 14. And now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are over unruly. Is that just a preacher's job? What will your answer be? What will your answer be? Are you warning the unruly? Are you not? Are you a discourager? Are you an encourager? What will your answer be? Are you comforting? Are you supporting the weak and sickly among us? Are you patient, he talks about, patient towards all men? Do you follow that which is good? Do you understand that? Or don't you? What will your answer be? I asked you the question in closing. What have I done with the master's goods? We have been given so much. What are you doing with the master's goods? Someday, we're going to give an answer. Someday, we're going to stand and he's going to ask the same question. What did you do with my goods? What are you doing with them? Are you one of the five? Or the two? Are you the one of the one? How did I treat my fellow men? Those are the questions that are going to be answered. Among those, or those that labor among you and admonish you, how did you treat them? My prayer is that each one can answer like Luke chapter 17, verse 10 says, so likewise, ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, the goods that have been given to you, and say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. You know what? I believe that was the answer that the ones with the five talents and the one with the two talents answered. In short, it was our duty to do. What will your answer be? Who are you? Is a question I'm challenging you with tonight. Who are you? Are you one of the five and the two? Are you the one? Were you pretty well or pretty earthly? You won't say it. How have you treated your fellow men? Have you been an encourager? Or have you been a discourager? Have you done what was your duty to do? Or have you not? I would like to give an invitation to him tonight. I want everyone to have an answer, a good answer, an answer that the Lord is looking toward. And the answer is, as the master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Or is there someone here tonight that possibly in a tinge of their minds and hearts are thinking that maybe if tonight our Lord Jesus would come back and we would stand before him and we would hear those words, take what was given from him, take it away from him, give it to the man that's five, and cast this man into outer darkness. Is that you? If that's you tonight, stand to your feet. I don't want you to go there. I have no desire for anybody at the sound of my voice to go there. I want everybody to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord because of what he has done with the master's goods. What shall the hymn be? Christian hymnal 277. His way with thee. Go ahead.
Would Jesus send me always pure and good? Would you walk with him
within the narrow road?
Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load?
Let
Is it his way or is it your way?
His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see.
Closed. You find yourself, you hadn't had the courage tonight, in the days to come, find somebody to help you through. Minister, very more welcome. A brother or sister is very welcome to help somebody walk through that they don't hear those sad words, but to hear those welcome words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thank you for your attention again tonight. God bless you as you continue to be faithful to Him. Continue to strive to be the master of your life.